3 p.m. Sunday. The first 1,000 kids to arrive for the Little Debbie Sunday. What? Receive Santa's Village Azusement Park admission tickets. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. Are there also going to be Little Debbies? Because you can't call your game the Little Debbie Sunday and not have Little Debbies. Campy, your favorite Little Debbie snack cake. Sean, your favorite Little Debbie snack cake.
The oatmeal cookies.
Oatmeal cream pie?
Yeah. Not to be Tony Gill on you, but.
An oatmeal cream pie is an excellent choice.
I'm a sucker for a Zinger of any kind. I always forget brand wise.
No, Zinger isn't Little Debbie. Little Debbie is a Swiss roll, right? Isn't that what they do?
Yeah.
Swiss roll, honey buns, cosmic brownies, zebra cakes.
I always mix up the two brands if I'm not looking at them.
It's nothing. I mean, they're 50 cent. You grab them and you love them.
Right.
A cosmic brownie. I'm a big cosmic brownie guy. A zebra cake. Solid choice.
Also up in our company kitchen. I consume many of them.
Really?
Yeah, like on the back wall, on the wall by the drinks where there's that little cart.
I didn't know that there was.
Yeah, there's oatmeal cream pies right next to the zebra cake.
All right, well, I know where I'm going to take a trip to later on. This segment is being brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Great food at a great price. At participating restaurants, additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. Campy, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
The question that I have for you, Joe, Herbie, Campy, not you, Sean. I seen where you are on the rankings, the Dickens rankings.
Seventh.
Which is just ridiculous, by the way. I got your back, Sean.
Yeah, I do too, by the way.
Much higher. Much higher.
How about flip it?
I wasn't going to say that.
No, I'll do it. I'll do it. People are out. They're listening in the middle of the day. Me, usually, okay, if we catch the podcast, we catch the podcast.
Yeah.
Flip that. 7-1. And then the gap between 1 and 2 is incredible. It's like the Bucks defense versus everybody else in the NBA right now. That's how big the gap is.
This is why I miss Joe being my EP.
It's my problem. And then people get mad at me. The issue is I'm honest.
Because
if
Joe,
if I'm asked the question, I give it an honest answer, which a lot of people don't do.
Joe was the designated bad guy on the show. He would make it so that I didn't have to be the bad
guy. Not by design. It was just being me.
Make me a bicycle clown.
It's true. It was not by design, but it was always nice to know that I had a heavy on the show, and that heavy's name was Joe Ostrowski. We had a lot of fun on yesterday's show. It was also great to have Ben Finfer and Nancy Armour in here for guest week. We had a tremendous time. Joe and I are going to be at Rivers Casino on Monday. And guess what? You can go place a bet there on Monday. So you should be there with us. Noon to 2, we are going to be on the air. So legally, you can place a sports betting wager at Rivers Casino on Monday when we are there. The crew today, Rick Camp, is going to be in charge of the show from a sound perspective, which is great. Sean, young Sean, is sitting in the EP chair today.
That's because I don't know how to run your show.
That is correct. But so far, so good. The running of the show has to do mostly with meeting the demands of, I need this cut up. This is great sound. We have to have it for the show to talk to the people. And I'm looking at a list of things that I asked for, and those things are there. So as long as they actually get on the air, mission accomplished. And then the other thing that you have to do as executive producer of the show today, join into the conversation occasionally. And when Sierra gets here at 12:45 or whatever, go get her from downstairs.
I can do the second one for sure.
Solid. Sierra Santos is going to join me for the 1 o'clock hour. We will hang out together leading you up to Cubs and White Sox baseball, which will be here on the score at 1:55 today. No guests in the first hour of today's show. Part of the reason that that is the case is because there were some things that I wanted to talk about. And I realized that for me being on vacation to me coming back and it being guest week, that there are things that I haven't been able to get to. Also, there's news out there, and I wanted to make sure I was spending enough time talking about the news of the day, especially when you get a big story like the Moncada extension. So that's where we're going to start today. With the extension of Yoan Moncada, you've been hearing it rumored. The White Sox made it official a little while ago, and I have the breakdown of the years of the contract, which I will share with you momentarily. Moncada, 24 years old, a five-year deal worth $70 million. It could be a six-year deal worth north of $90 million, and that's because it breaks down this way. $4 million signing bonus for Moncada, $1 million for him in 2020, $6 million in 2021, $13 million in 2022, $17 million in 2023, $24 million in 2024, and then $25 million in 2025 with a $5 million buyout. He'll be 30, be 29. Well, 30 if they have all 6 years, but 29 if they only go five and they buy him out. This is another one of those things that Rick Hahn is really good at. Before I let you hear a little bit of a scouting report on Moncada from Rick Hahn and Steve Stone, I want to talk about his year last year and the differences in the player that he was in 2018 versus the player that he was in 2019. In 2018, the strikeouts were super high. He was striking out at, what, 34% clip? 217 total strikeouts, a ton looking, and he led the league in called third strikes in 2018. He cut that down to 154 strikeouts, so cut off about 7% of his strikeouts in 2019, and there are various reasons for it, which I will let the experts on the topic get to momentarily. Looking at his splits, I thought was fascinating, because sometimes you wonder, and I would classify guaranteed rate, Sox Park, US Cellular, whatever, 35th and Shields as a hitter friendly park. That's fair, right? Haven't the numbers bear that out?
Yeah, not as extreme as it used to be, but still a hitter's park.
Still a hitter's park. So I looked at his home and road splits. They're almost identical, which made me very happy. Moncada's home splits last year, 308 batting average, 364 on base percentage, 544 slugging percentage for an OPS of 908. On the road, 325 batting average, 372 on base percentage, 553 slugging percentage for an OPS of 926. I will say, his BABIP on the road, higher. Batted balls in play, usually that number needs to be around 300. For Moncada, in away games last year, his BABIP was 426. Okay? So those are some of the numbers. He had a terrible August. Remember, he popped the hammy? And that's something that is of some concern. With the White Sox, and I know from talking to people down there that there's been a change in his workout routine and has become a little bit more leg-based, so hopefully there won't be as many misses of games for him or chronic hamstring problems. That's the hope that the White Sox have going into the 2020 season. So in August of last year, he slashed 189, 211, 405. Then had a monster September. He was one of the best players in baseball in September. These numbers are actually pretty sick. 412 batting average, 455 on base percentage, 647 slugging for an OPS of 1.102. Moncada had a great year last year. He got votes for MVP in the American League. He was a 4-6 B war, so Baseball Reference does one, and Fangraphs. Fangraphs, I think, had him at 5-3. I've just been saying he's a 5-war player because if you average those together, it's 5. 5-war player, played a pretty good third base for the White Sox last year, and now they have him signed for a long-term extension. Campy, can you load up the Rick Hahn on his extension thing? So, Rick Hahn and I had a conversation about 6 weeks ago here on the radio station. The thing that I've talked to him a little bit about off the air is something that I wanted to ask him point blank on the air, which is how in the world is he getting these long-term extensions done with young players?
It sounds a little cliche, and you hear it more often when you make trades, that you want both sides to win, you want both sides to be happy. But it is 100% accurate, you know, in the trade context, but even more so in when you're dealing with long-term deals with young players. You want it to be a win-win. You want a guy to get a lifetime of security and feel comfortable, and so that they only have to worry about their performance on the field. And obviously from the club standpoint, you want something that gives you some certainty in each of these situations, you know, a little more control than we have under the current, you know, free agency setup. So on paper, you need to look at these things and see what's the player getting, what's the team getting, and we haven't converted on everyone we've tried, but on, you know, the ones we have converted on, both sides have sort of come to a meeting of the minds that this is mutually beneficial. And, you know, as the player's career evolves, if for whatever reason they quote-unquote left money on the table because of the deal they struck and they wind up outperforming that contract, I think the guys we've entered in these agreements with are the type of players who understand that, you know, they did that at a time that gave them a lifetime of security and their family didn't need to worry anymore. And on the back end, they're gonna get paid once they do hit the free agency. You know, you saw Sale was able to turn it into another long-term deal and certainly should have zero complaints about what his career compensation path went down. But again, that's part of it working out for both sides, and that's extremely important when you're dealing with your own guys.
A texter asks, 815 texter asks, aren't the White Sox essentially just paying them market value for their arbitration years with an option on the end? Yes. Yes. Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. That's exactly what they're doing. And when you're a young player and you don't have to now worry about those arbitration meetings, you don't have to worry. You have the money. The money is going to be yours because the contracts are guaranteed. A more interesting question, and I don't have the answer to this because it's to each their own, is why aren't more teams doing it this way? What is it that the White Sox are doing that other teams aren't? What is Rick's approach that other players don't buy into? And I understand a player like, let's say Chris Bryant. I understand a player like Chris Bryant, like, well, I am going to get raises in my arbitration years because I'm a really good player. And at the end of it, there is a pot of gold at the rainbow. It's a matter of preference of what it is that you value. Where if you're Chris Bryant and you're one of the top picks in the draft, you probably already got some cash in your pocket. Same thing for the guys like Moncada and Aloy. They got some cash in their pocket, but now they know that they're going to have this money forever. And going to players and saying, we think that you're a big, valuable part of what we want to do, and this is how we're planning on making you a part of what we want to do, I think it's pretty cool. I think it's Rick Hahn's superpower.
And I think one thing, too, that the Sox are realizing it, they're doing it before they start winning, and we're going to talk about the Cubs later on in the show, but I don't think they really had the chance to do this before the belief of this team was instilled into their players. Like, Chris Bryant came up in 2015, and they won 97 games. So he automatically already knew he was going to be Rookie of the Year. Next year, he was MVP. So his career path was on a completely different route than Yoan Moncada's was. Moncada now believes in this team before they even started winning, and I think that's a benefit the White Sox have.
And I just like that you haven't heard anyone, even Adam Eaton, like that you haven't heard anyone cry about these deals. It's rare. People always talk about the win-win in negotiations. And let me tell you, having gone through a few negotiations, the concept of the win-win can sometimes be overstated. So I like that it seems as if the White Sox have found a really comfortable spot where they're getting what they want. The players getting what they want. And now it's a matter of, okay, the fans have bought into all of this stuff. You've got all of your important pieces locked up at least until 2023. Now is the next part of this. Can Moncada take that next step as a player? Can he be not just someone who gets MVP votes, but a legitimate MVP contender? What were the odds on him this year? 50-1? I mean, in the American League, you got a Mike Trout problem. A little harder. And now in the National League, you got a Mookie Betts problem. But 50-1 on Yoan Moncada to be the MVP for a guy who finished 21st in MVP voting last year? Sure. Put $5 on that.
Better than Trubisky at 200-1.
I mean, do you remember that, Campy? Do you remember the summer? Sean, were you paying attention to that? Where it was like, did you guys see the odds on Mitchell Trubisky to be MVP?
Well, it was hard not to with Parkins taking that whole bet on Trubisky to win MVP.
Oh, I didn't know he did that.
Oh, yeah, that was a big storyline.
Did he only bet like $5, though?
I think it was one of those
I don't remember.
I think it was a swap bet. So I think someone bought it, and then he bought the bet off of him.
Ah, okay. I would not have been comfortable betting on Mitch Trubisky to be MVP.
I mean, MVP could have meant something different. It could have been a different award.
No, it's the actual award that they were betting on. I don't think that's what it was. We don't have to do the is Mitch good week again. Like, we're not going to do that again.
Is Mitch palatable?
Can you stand Mitch week? That's what we'll do. All-Star week.
What job would you trust Mitch to do week?
Is Mitch okay? Here it is. I got it. Instead of is Mitch good week? Campy, Sean, is Mitch good enough week? Isn't that what we're all trying to convince ourselves of? Isn't the whole thing, well, you know, if they upgrade the offensive line and the defense gets some more takeaways, Mitch is good enough.
But wasn't that kind of the conversation last year? Was, is he good enough to win
Sean,
the Super Bowl?
No.
People forget about it.
Don't remind him.
4 months away.
Is Mitch as good as the car that he brought to originally to Lake Forest week?
Yeah, he's a little bit better than that car. I think it's gonna be an interesting few weeks. The tampering period starts at the end of next week, right? What's today? The 6th? So 10 days from now, 16th, is the beginning of the tampering period. And once we see the quarterback, where the quarterback dominoes are going to start to fall, because I don't think that the free agent quarterbacks are what you're going to get. I think it's, unless it's a lower tier, like you're not, I don't think that you're getting Teddy Bridgewater. And if you are getting Teddy Bridgewater, then it's over with, and there is no Mitch question. Because you're not bringing in Teddy Bridgewater at $24 million a year or whatever he's going to get and telling him you got to fight it out with the guy that you ran up and down the field on against last year.
Yeah, then the question turns into, can Teddy throw the ball 20 yards in the air in the Chicago wind?
Well, and who's he throwing it to? Because here's an underrated part of the badness of the 8-8 season of the Bears. Their receiving core wasn't very good outside of one guy. Man, did we drift off into Bears land? I did not want to do that. I did not want to drift off into Bears land today.
Yeah, here we are.
Yet, here we are. I would have rather drifted off into Blackhawks land, to tell you the God's honest truth.
Congrats. A lot more elbow room there.
Well, they won again last night. But here's the problem. Campy, you know this to be true from working on the show since the show started last March. Whenever I get excited about the Blackhawks, whenever I start saying, we could use some more Blackhawks coverage on this show.
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
When I say, let's do that hockey, and let's talk about Jonathan Taves' awesome wraparound goal last night.
Then they stopped doing the hockey.
Then they stopped doing hockey. You had the guys that you wanted scoring last night playing well. Kane, Taves, DeBrincat.